Welcome to Summer Chapel, and let's begin with the opening prayer as printed on the bulletin. Please join me. Almighty God, grant that we may believe that your only Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, has ascended into the heavens, so that we may also in heart and mind ascend to heaven and continually dwell with him who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Our scripture reading for today is taken from the Acts of the Apostles, the first chapter, beginning with verse 6. Therefore, when the disciples had come together, they asked Jesus, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, It is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now when he had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. One of the great landmarks in Paris is the Arc de Triomphe. And it was commissioned by Napoleon in 1806. And it was to commemorate a great victory that he had made in battle. And it took 30 years to complete it. Just think of that, 30 years to complete a memorial for a war. And it's 164 feet high. So that's roughly 12-story building, so taller than any building in Mankato, just as a monument to his great victory. And they estimate it would cost about $80 million today to try to replicate it. Hitler, years later, saw that and thought at the end of World War II that he was going to build one even taller. These triumphal arches are often seen in various places around the world. Mexico City, there's some in China. There's one in London, up in Russia, St. Petersburg. And they are often created to commemorate the great victory over a war, in a war. Sometimes they're built also to show the beginning of a new regime that has come into power and so on. I remember years ago reading a book about our Lord's ascension, and the commentator was talking about that if you think of Jesus' ascension, it's kind of like his triumphal archway for his church, for himself as he enters heaven, and signifying the victory that he's won for us. I think when you hear the reading of our Lord's ascension, what an amazing sight this must have been. You think of all the different miracles that they had witnessed of Christ, and then, of course, his resurrection. And he sends them off now to be witnesses of that resurrection. But then to also see him ascending through the clouds up into heaven, it's so spectacular. It must have just taken their breath away. In fact, we're told they were looking intently up into the sky as he was going. I can only imagine what that must have been like. But this has tremendous meaning for our lives, even though this is thousands of years later. It means for us that the victory that needed to be won over the devil and the powers of hell, the victory that would gain us heaven, is complete. The war is all done when Christ said, "It is finished." That means there's nothing more that needs to be added for us to be able to have our hope of heaven. And sometimes we don't necessarily feel that way. Sometimes when we think about our lives and how we've lived our lives, and we can sometimes feel like there's something yet to be completed. If you imagine a man that is going around trying to find loans from different banks to see if he could build a house, and then discovers that a very wealthy relative has gone and already paid the full amount of building the house and everything. But the man still feels he needs to keep going to banks. And his relative goes and says, "I've already paid for all this. Why are you busying yourself? Why are you worrying yourself with this?" That's really how God comes to us through his word and says, "I've already taken care of what it is going to cost to get you into heaven through the work of my son." His ascension into heaven is the proof of that for each one of us. So maybe there's something right now in your heart and your conscience and in your life, something maybe that happened in your past, and it's causing you to feel like, "Well, I'm not so sure that isn't going to come back on me someday." The ascension of your Savior is God's declaration to you. It's all done. It's all complete, and please be comforted by that. In that sense, spiritually relax. Don't feel like there's still some burden or work that's on you that has to be accomplished for you to have salvation. God's made you his child in the waters of baptism. And by his ascension, our Lord Jesus is now granted not on the earth in the way that he was in his humiliation form among his disciples, but it hasn't made him, if you will, immobile in regard to his church. There are some Christian churches in the world today that believe that now that Christ has ascended to heaven and he is physically in heaven, that he really cannot be present among us, other than maybe the way you think about how your grandma is thinking about you, and that there's no way that he could be present with us back on the earth. But our Lord Jesus is both true God and true man, and he is able to do things with his body that we are not able to do with ours. He's able to still be present with his church here on earth, even though we can't see or touch him. And he has simply chosen, by in his wisdom and in the for the things of his kingdom, to be present in our world in a completely different way than we might imagine or that people might want to expect. And he promises us, I am with you always. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of you. So Christ is present right here, even though we can't see him. Not the way your grandma's thinking about you when you're on vacation. He says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of you. And certainly in the Lord's Supper, where he brings us his very body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins. So Jesus hasn't abandoned his church by going on up into the sky, but he's rather chosen to just interact with us in a completely different way through the means of grace. And it shows us how precious those means of grace really are to be seen as we look at that. Even the book of Acts that we're reading from here goes on to describe how Jesus continues to be present with his church. In Acts chapter 2, it says, the Lord added daily to their numbers those who people were becoming Christians. In Acts chapter 9, when the Lord speaks to Saul, he says to him, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. In Acts chapter 23, we're told the Lord stood near Paul and said, take courage. So Christ is still very present and very real with his church here on earth. But most importantly, our Lord's ascension is to be seen by us as a prototype of our future ascension. The disciples, it's interesting in our text, they kind of want to invest their energy into speculation about when he's going to return and what's going to happen here on the earth. And Jesus instead directs their energy and their thoughts to what they should be doing as witnesses of his resurrection until the day that he returns. And he takes their eyes off of looking at him up in the heavens and in a sense is saying, look down on the earth, all the work that needs to be done to spread the message of the wonderful salvation he has come to give. A lot of times a person's final words are very important to us. If you've been at the bedside of someone before they die, or maybe a relative, and you think back, what were the last words that they spoke, and so on. And a lot of times they can encapsulate a lot of things about that person and about their life. The commission that our Lord is giving here to his disciples really encapsulates what the church is all about. We're the waiting church. And he's given us this wonderful mission. And this college is just all built around that same wonderful mission. And all the various duties that we do ultimately supports exactly what Jesus is saying to his disciples. Listen to what he says again. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, speaking of Pentecost. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And that's where we're mentioned, to the ends of the earth. So, this is a signal from our Lord Jesus Christ, his ascension, that his work is not only done, but as far as saving us, but the work that needs to be done now of bringing that wonderful truth to others has begun. How wonderful to think that the final image that members of Jesus' disciples had was to see him going up into heaven. And that's really the magnetic thing that should draw our eyes and our hearts also up toward heaven. They claim that Napoleon never got to see the completion of his great arch. He was ultimately booted from power and sent off into exile on an island, and he ended up dying before the arch was actually completed. Many years later, they exhumed his body from the grave and brought it back to Paris and ironically drove his casket through the very triumphal arch, his dead body. How different from our living Lord, who has ascended into heaven and made that his triumphal archway through which someday he will take us as well. But when he returns, he will be the living Lord who comes back to grab the church and to bring us with him. This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven, the angel said, will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. What a wonderful day that will be when we experience our own ascension. How many more can we help draw with us through his word and sacraments? Amen. Please rise for the responsory as printed on the bottom of our bulletin. Our Lord says, "Behold, I am coming soon. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Come, Lord Jesus, quickly come. Our Father in heaven, deliver us from every evil of body and soul, property and honor. And at last, when the hour of death shall come, grant us a blessed end and graciously take us from this valley of sorrow to yourself in heaven. Through Jesus Christ, our risen and ascended Lord. Amen." The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Go in his peace. Amen.